From the independent producer project of KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
To hit or not to hit, to swerve or not to swerve. It makes more sense to just smash that deer, stay on the road. Everybody always says don't swerve, and I always would have said don't swerve, but I'm so glad that I swerved and went off the road. I'm glad that I did that because I think maybe that deer did survive. But if the deer does have to die, then you ought to do something for it. Not necessarily even with it, but like for it.
I think my opinion on life and death is a little skewed compared to a lot of people. Everything dies. The fact that most people haven't seen somebody die and everybody dies, doesn't that sound weird? There's people that haven't seen an animal die. I purposely kill deer. I kill them for sport and for food, for enjoyment, because I really enjoy it.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
gutting Rudolph in Christmas Village.
The podcast about
the unknown.
The location is Lake Chacolet, Northern Idaho, Benoit County. I had gotten done with my day's work and I was going off for a little expedition with my dog and another dog. And the lake probably has some ice in patches, but for the most part is clear. So we're going along the bike path and, you know, see a deer up there on the bike path, which is nothing unusual whatsoever. Both of the dogs start going after it. The deer goes and launches itself into the lake. It's instinctual for them. They think that's a good escape route. The deer is just kind of swimming off into oblivion. I look around a little bit like, what can I do in this situation? What is the next step? Basically, I'm trying to remedy something that I had caused. Can't just let it happen without trying to do something about it. There's a paddle boat, just a little old plastic paddle boat, two-person kind of thing. It probably took me about 40 minutes of hard paddling to actually meet up with that deer, and by that time, its eyes were rolling back and it was starting to kind of go in circles. I look over and see that the deer's nostrils have now gone under and it's basically just floating there on its side, kind of barely touching the bottom of the lake, but just kind of bobbing there. As quickly as I can, I paddled over to it, yelling at it, "Stay with me, deer, come on, buddy." Grabbing onto its hind leg, I pulled the deer up on top of me and pulled it across my lap and plopped it down into the passenger seat of this little paddle boat. Its eyes are just wide open and it's not paying any attention to me whatsoever. It's not showing any signs of fear of me or anything like that. And it's just losing its grip on life, second by second. So I get it over to the shore, and it's basically a lifeless body, but it's still barely breathing. You can see its chest heaving. You know, what do you do with a deer? How do you give a deer CPR? Look down at it, and it's died. that was just like a moment of completely feeling lost. Did that really just happen? My first person that jumps into my head as far as like, who can help this situation? Who can help me out here? Who's willing to help me out here? Is my good friend Ryan Graves. So I call him up, no hesitation whatsoever. He's on the road, he's ready to come up.
It was so sad. I felt really bad. I felt worse for Annie than I did for the deer. Oh, man. It warms my heart to know that people, you know, would do that kind of thing for a deer. I mean, I think there is a hierarchy in my moral compass of life forms. I feel bad for the deer. I feel empathy for the deer. I'm sorry you drowned, but it's like feeling bad for, you know, an animal that gets eaten by another animal in the wild. It's the way the world works. It's the way life works. In the medical field, there's a term DNR, do not resuscitate. If I come into the room and you're not breathing, how much do you want me to do to try and save your life? I kind of put a deer that swam out into the middle of the lake on DNR status. It's a no code. I think Andy would have put in equal effort either way if it was a person or a deer. But that's just Andy. In a way, that's admirable.
Dark by now. It's probably 9 o'clock or something like that, and the entire area is just completely dead silent.
Got to the deer and split it right down the middle and dumped the guts, and
we strung that deer up in an apple tree,
and it was like just gutting Rudolph in Christmas Village. It was pretty ridiculous. It was like blood everywhere, and the dogs are licking the blood off the snow, and we're just slicing off steaks and eating them.
We did feast on backstrap all night, and it was a wonderful, wonderful occasion in that way. And by then, I think I was feeling a lot less morose about the whole deal. In a way, we were able to justify this basically wasteful death. Thought to myself, like, if I was really, really lonely, if I didn't have friends or family, if I was depressed, I would kill myself. It wouldn't take that much for me to just throw in the towel as far as living life. I enjoy my life for what it is, but I don't really value human lives to some great elevated level. I would feel almost just as bad to see a deer hit on the side of the road as I would to see a big, fatal car accident.
It's frustrating that there's such a stigma around death. I mean, it's as important as birth. I think a lot of people don't really have an idea of what death is. It's kept as this secretive, private thing. Death is shielded from everybody. They put people in a body bag. They put a blanket over somebody after they die. If they have a viewing, they'll paint them up and shield them with makeup. I mean, I get that the unknown is scary, but what's to be afraid of? Everybody's gone through it before you. You're not the first one through the door.
That is a funny thing. if I put so little value on life, then why do I care that much about like a deer on the side of the road?
Andy Wilson lives and works in Pullman, Washington, where he's a professional woodworker. He owns three brown dogs now, including Quincy, one of the dogs from this story, who's now 11 years old. Ryan Graves works as a nurse at Pullman Regional Hospital and lives just outside of town. Last week, he was slightly saddened by the death of his pet duck, but he's looking forward to the coming deer season. Bethany Denton adapted this piece for Here Be Monsters from a short animated film by John Summerson. John Summerson is an animator and filmmaker working out of Portland, Oregon. His film version of this story is also called Deers, and its creation was generously funded by the Princess Grace Foundation, USA. In John's film adaptation, he tells the same story of Andy and Ryan, but he presents it in a very different way, with his own editing, his own scoring, and his own beautiful, hand-drawn animations. The film is really joyful and heartbreaking, and John's been touring this film around at film festivals lately. But in conjunction with this episode, John is releasing the entire film to the public today on our website, which is hbmpodcast.com. There, you'll also find an image gallery for this episode, a link to John's website, and our contact info, which is how John originally got in touch with us about deers. If you have an idea for us, please let us know. Again, we're at hbmpodcast.com. On this episode, you heard music by Flowers, Lucky Dragons, and Flower Petal Downpour. Here Be Monsters is produced by me, Jeff Entman, along with Bethany Denton, and our editor at KCRW, Nick White. Oh yeah, and you might have heard that we joined KCRW. It's great news, and we're excited to say that they've made it possible for us to release more episodes more often in season 4. So show them some love at kcrw.com. And right now we're putting out a call to you, our listeners. You see, lately Bethany and I noticed this strange and sudden influx of traffic to the website from this hospital, and it got us thinking about you, and a little bit concerned and curious. Statistically speaking, we're nearly certain that there are more listeners out there hearing this podcast from a hospital bed. And so if that's you, we do wish you a quick recovery, and we also hope that you'll reach out to us, because we have some questions for you about the nature of long hospital stays. Our email address is hbmpodcast@gmail.com. All right, more episodes soon. Thanks for listening.